This is Audible.
Egomaniac by Vi Keeland. Narrated by Joe Arden and Andy Arndt. Sometimes what you're looking for comes when you're not looking at all. Unknown. Chapter 1. Drew. I hate New Year's Eve. 2 hours in traffic to make it not even the 9 miles home from LaGuardia. It was after 10 o'clock at night. Why weren't all these people at a party by now? Whatever tension 2 weeks in Hawaii had relieved was already back to coiling tighter and tighter inside me as the town car inched its way uptown. I tried not to think about all the work I was coming back to, the endless string of other people's problems to compound my own. She cheated, he cheated, get me full custody of the kids, she can't have the house in Vail, all she wants is my money. She hasn't given me a blowjob in 3 years. Listen, asshole. You're 50, bald, pompous, and shaped like an egg. She's 23, hot, and has tits so young they almost reach up to her chin. You want to fix this marriage? Come home with 10 G's and fresh, crisp bills and tell her to get on her knees. You'll get your blowjob. She'll get her spending money. Let's not pretend it was ever more than it really was. That doesn't work for you? Unlike your soon-to-be ex-wife, I'll take a check. Make that out to Drew M. Jagger, attorney at law. I rubbed the back of my neck, feeling slightly claustrophobic in the back of the Uber, and looked out the window. An old lady with a walker passed us. I'll get out here, I barked at the driver. But you have luggage? I was already exiting the back of the car. Pop the trunk. It's not like we're moving anyway. Traffic was at a dead stop, and it was only 2 blocks to my building. Tossing a $100 tip at the driver, I grabbed my suitcase from the trunk and took in a deep breath of Manhattan. I loved this city as much as I hated it. 575 Park Avenue was a restored pre-war on the southeast corner of 63rd Street. It was an address that gave people preconceived notions about you. Someone with my last name had occupied the building since before the place was converted into overpriced co-ops. Which is why my office was allowed to remain on the ground floor when other commercial tenants were tossed out years ago. I also lived on the top floor. Welcome back, Mr. Jagger. The uniformed doorman greeted me as he swung open the lobby door. Thanks, Ed. I miss anything while I was gone? Nah, same old, same old. Peeked in on your construction the other day, though. Looking good. They used the service entrance down 63rd like they were supposed to? Ed nodded. Sure did. Barely heard them the last few days. I dropped my luggage inside my apartment, then headed back downstairs in the elevator to check things out. For the last 2 weeks, while I was screwing off in Honolulu, my office space had been getting a total renovation. Cracks in the high, plastered ceilings were to be patched and painted, and new floors installed to replace the old, worn parquet. Thick plastic remained taped over all of the interior doorways when I walked in. The little furniture I hadn't put in storage was also still covered with tarps. Shit, they aren't done yet. The contractor had assured me there would only be finished work left by the time I returned. I was right to be skeptical. Flicking on the lights, I was happy to find the lobby completely done, though. Finally, a New Year's Eve with no horrible surprises for a change. I took a quick look around, pleased with what I found, and was just about to leave when I noticed a light streaming from under the door of a small file room at the end of the hallway. Thinking nothing of it, I headed to turn it off. Now, I'm 6'2½", 205 pounds, and maybe it was just my frame of mind, my not expecting to see anyone. But when I opened the door to the file room, finding her there scared the living crap out of me. She screamed. I took a step back through the door. She got up, stood on the chair, and began yelling at me, waving her cell phone in the air. "I'll call the police." Her fingers shook as she dialed 9, then 1, and hovered over the last 1. "Get out now and I won't call." I could have lunged for her, and the phone would have been out of her hand before she realized she hadn't dialed the final digit. But she looked terrified. So I retreated another step and put my hands up in surrender. "I'm not going to hurt you," I used my best, soothing, calm voice. You don't need to call the police. This is my office.
Do I look stupid to you? You just broke into my office.
Your office? I think you took a wrong turn at the corner of Crazy and Nut Job. She wobbled atop the chair, holding both arms out to regain her balance, and then her skirt fell to her feet.
Get out!
She crouched down and grabbed her skirt, tugging it up to her waist as she turned her back to me. Do you take medication, ma'am?
Medication? Ma'am? Are you joking?
You know what? I motioned to the phone she was still holding. Why don't you push that last one and get the police over here? They can drive you back to whatever loony bin you escaped from. Her eyes widened. For a crazy person, now that I was really looking, she was pretty damn cute. Fiery red hair piled on top of her head seemed to match her firecracker personality. Although, from the looks of her blazing blue eyes, I was glad I'd held off on telling her that. She pushed one and proceeded to report the crime of entering one's own office.
I'd like to report a robbery.
Robbery? I arched an eyebrow and looked around. A lone folding chair and crappy metal folding table were the only furniture in the entire space. What exactly am I stealing? Your winning personality? She amended her complaint to the police.
A breaking and entering. I'd like to report a breaking and entering at 575 Park Avenue.
She paused and listened.
No, I don't think he's armed. But he's big. Really big. At least 6 feet. Maybe bigger.
I smirked. And strong. Don't forget to tell them I'm strong, too. Want me to flex for you? And maybe you should tell them I have green eyes. Wouldn't want the police to confuse me with all the other really big thieves hanging out in my office. After she hung up, she stayed standing on the chair, still glaring at me. Was there also a mouse? I asked.
A mouse?
Considering you jumped up on that chair, I chuckled.
You find this funny?
Oddly, I do. And I have no fucking idea why. It should annoy the crap out of me that I come home from a 2-week vacation and find a squatter in my office.
Squatter? I'm no squatter. This is my office. I moved in a week ago.
She bobbled again while standing on her chair. Why don't you get down? You're going to fall off that thing and get hurt.
How do I know you're not going to hurt me when I get down?
I shook my head and contained my laugh. Sweetheart, look at the size of me. Look at the size of you. Standing on that chair isn't doing jack shit to keep you safe. If I wanted to hurt you, you'd be out cold on the floor already.
I take Krav Maga classes twice a week.
Twice a week? Really? Thanks for the warning.
You don't have to ridicule me. Maybe I could hurt you. For an intruder, you're really kind of rude, you know.
Get down. After a full minute stare-off, she climbed off the chair. See? You're as safe on the ground as you were up there.
What do you want from here?
You didn't call the police, did you? You almost had me there for a second.
I didn't, but I can.
Now why would you go and do that? So they can arrest you for breaking and entering? She pointed down at her makeshift desk. For the first time, I noticed papers all over the place.
I told you, this is my office. I'm working late tonight because the construction crew was so loud today that I couldn't get done what I needed to. Why would anyone break and enter to work at 10:30 at night on New Year's Eve?
Construction crew? My construction crew? Something was going on here. You were here with the construction crew today?
Yes.
I scratched my chin, half believing her. What's the foreman's name?
Tommy.
Shit. She was telling the truth. Well, at least some of it had to be the truth. You said you moved in a week ago?
That's right.
And you rented the space from whom, exactly?
John Cougar?
Both my brows shot up this time. John Cougar? Did he drop the melon camp, by chance?
How should I know?
This wasn't sounding good. And you paid this John Cougar?
Of course, that's how renting an office suite works. 2 months security, first and last month's rent.
I shut my eyes and shook my head. Shit.
What?
You got conned. How much did all of that cost you? 2 months security, first and last month. 4 months in total. $10,000? Please tell me you didn't pay cash. Something finally clicked, and the color drained from her pretty face.
He said his bank was closed in the evening, and he couldn't give me the keys until my check cleared. If I gave him cash, I could move in right away.
You paid John Cougar $40,000 in cash?
No.
Thank God.
I paid him $10,000 in cash.
I thought you said you paid 4 months.
I did. It was $2,500 a month.
That did it. Of all the crazy shit I'd heard so far, thinking she could get space on Park Avenue for $2,500 a month took the cake. I broke out in a fit of laughter.
What's so funny?
You're not from New York, are you?
No, I just moved here from Oklahoma. What does that have to do with anything?
I took a step closer. I hate to break the news to you, Oklahoma, but you got ripped off. This is my office. I've been here for 3 years. My father, the 30 before that. I was on vacation the last 2 weeks and had the office remodeled while I was gone. Someone named after a singer scammed you into giving him cash to rent an office he had no right to rent. Dorman's name is Ed. Walk through the main building entrance and he'll verify everything I just said.
That can't be.
What do you do that you need office space?
I'm a psychologist.
I held out my hand. I'm an attorney. Let me see your contract. Her face fell.
He hasn't brought it by yet. He said the landlord was in Brazil on vacation and I could move in, and he would come back on the 1st to collect the rent and bring me the contract to sign.
You've been scammed.
But I paid him $10,000.
Which is another thing that should have tipped you off. You couldn't rent a closet on Park Avenue for $2,500 a month. Didn't you find it strange that you were getting a place like this for next to nothing?
I thought I was getting a deal.
I shook my head. You got a deal, all right. A raw deal. She covered her mouth.
I think I'm going to be sick.
Chapter 2. Emery. I felt like such a damn idiot. A light knock came on the bathroom door.
You okay in there?
I'm fine. Embarrassed, stupid, naive, flat broke, but fine. I washed my face and stared at myself in the mirror. What the hell was I going to do now? My phone line was finally being installed this week, and my stationery was being delivered. My beautiful stationery, with the pretty logo and fancy new Park Avenue address. Ugh, another $250 wasted. I hung my head and stared down at the sink, unable to look at my dumb face anymore. Eventually, I cracked open the bathroom door and stepped out. The rightful tenant leaned against the wall, waiting for me. Of course, he had to be gorgeous, because I couldn't just mortify myself in front of an ugly man. No, definitely not.
You sure you're okay?
I avoided eye contact. I'm not, but I will be. I hesitated before continuing. Is it okay if I go back into my office? I mean, your office, and clean up my stuff?
Of course. Take your time.
There wasn't too much to pack. All of my furniture was also being delivered this week, as were the files from my storage unit. I was going to have to cancel that, too. Where the hell was I going to put everything? My apartment wasn't much bigger than the file room I'd been sitting in. As I was packing the last of my things into the box I'd brought them in, the rightful tenant came to stand in the doorway. I spoke before he could. I'm so sorry. For falling for the scam, for threatening to call the cops on you.
Don't forget threatening harm with your mad Krav Maga skills.
I looked up and found him smirking. It was a good look. Too good. His handsome face made me nervous, albeit not the kind of nervous I felt compelled to stand on a chair and call the police over. No, this man's smile was cocky and hit me in the knees, amongst other places. I do take Krav Maga, you know.
Good for you. You scared me a little when I walked in. I bet you can kick some little girl butt.
I froze mid-packing. Little girl butt? My instructor is a man. He folded his arms across his chest.
his wide, thick chest. How long have you been taking lessons?
Almost 3 months.
You are not going to take down a man of my size with 3 months of Krav Maga training.
Maybe it was the late hour, or the realization that I'd been conned out of my life savings and had no office to meet patients in, but my sanity snapped. I lunged at the poor, unsuspecting man. I literally hopped up on my chair, jumped onto the folding table, and dove at him. Dove at him. Even though I'd caught him by surprise, he had me completely restrained in less than a heartbeat. I wasn't even sure what the move he'd done was. Somehow he'd managed to spin me around so my back was to his front and my arms were pinned behind me between us. It pissed me off that he wasn't even winded when he spoke. His breath tickled my neck as he held me in place, and his voice was low and measured.
What was that?
I was trying to show you my moves. I felt his body shake behind me, although there was no sound.
Are you laughing at me? Again?
He laughed through his answer.
No.
I have moves, I swear. I'm just all sorts of off tonight because of everything that happened. He still hadn't released me. Instead, he leaned forward, putting his head over my shoulder, and spoke.
If we're showing off moves, I'd be happy to demonstrate some of mine, too.
Every hair on my body reached for the sky while goosebumps prickled my skin.
I...
He released his hold, and it took me a minute to find my bearings. Rather than face him with the blush I felt on my face, I kept my back to him as I gathered the last of my things and pulled my charger from the wall. I have deliveries scheduled and a phone line being installed Tuesday. My shoulders slumped again. I paid double for the storage company to deliver this week, too. I'll cancel everything first thing in the morning. But just in case they show up, if you're here, if you wouldn't mind turning them away.
Of course.
Thank you. I lifted my box and had no choice but to face him. He walked around the table to where I was standing and took it out of my hands before leading me to the reception area. Everything else in the space was dark, but the light from what I'd thought was my file room illuminated the hall enough that we could see each other. We stopped in front of the service door I'd been using for the last week. It dawned on me that the fake real estate agent probably had me using that entrance to avoid getting caught too quickly. He'd told me not to use the main Park Avenue entrance because the building didn't want dust tracked through on our shoes during the construction. I'd bought everything that scammer had said.
Got a name, Oklahoma? Or should I just call you Squatter?
Emery. Emery Rose.
Pretty name. Rose your last name or middle?
Last. He shifted the box he was carrying from two hands to one and extended the free one to me.
Drew. Drew Michael.
I squinted. Middle or last? His smile lit up the dimness as I placed my hand in his. The man didn't have dimples. He had mouth cleavage.
Middle. Jagger's my last name.
Nice to meet you, Drew Jagger. He didn't let go of my hand.
Really? Nice to meet me? You're way more polite than I would be under the circumstances.
You're right. At this point, I might be wishing you were really a burglar after all.
Do you have a car? It's late, and this box is pretty heavy.
It's fine. I'll just grab a cab. He nodded.
Better be careful getting in and out. That skirt seems to have a mind of its own.
That time, not even the dark could hide the blush. With all the mortification I've suffered tonight, you couldn't let me just have that one? Pretend it never happened? Drew smirked.
It's impossible to pretend I didn't see that ass.
I was thin, but my ass was a little on the large side. I'd always been self-conscious of it. What's that supposed to mean?
It was a compliment.
Oh.
Why did your skirt fall down anyway? Did you lose weight recently or something?
At that point, nothing could embarrass me any more than I'd already done to myself, so I laughed as I told him the truth. I had a big burger for dinner, and my skirt was tight, so I unzipped it. The door was locked. I didn't think anyone would be coming in.
A woman who eats big burgers and looks like that? Don't let the other New York women know. They'll put you back on a bus to Oklahoma.
He winked, and God, was I pathetic that I felt the pitter-patter of my heart speed up. We walked outside, and Drew waited with me, holding my box until a cab pulled up at the curb. He leaned on the top of the door after I climbed in.
New Year's Eve always sucks. Tomorrow will be better. Why don't you stay in bed, order another big burger, and try to get some rest? I'll meet you at the police station the day after tomorrow. 19th Precinct over on 67th Street. Say, 8 a.m. New Year's Day will be crazy at the station, still processing drunken idiots from the night before.
I hadn't even thought of the police. I guess I did need to file a report.
You don't have to come with me. I've already intruded enough on you.
Drew shrugged.
They'll want my statement for their report anyway. Plus, I'm friendly with a few of the guys. It'll get you in and out faster.
Okay. He rapped his knuckles on the top of the cab twice and leaned in to speak to the driver.
Take good care of her. She's had a shitty night.
Once we pulled away into traffic, everything that had happened over the last hour hit me. My adrenaline had spiked, and I started to free-fall down. I've been scammed out of my life savings. I no longer have an office. I've given all of my patients my new address. My head spun. Where will I go? What will I do for a security deposit, even if I find someplace new on short notice? Feeling nauseous again, I leaned my head back against the leather seat and shut my eyes, taking a few deep breaths. Oddly, the first thing that popped into my head was the handsome, dark-haired man with the full lips leaning against my office doorway. His office doorway. And with that image in my mind, in the midst of my spiral down and a massive anxiety attack, I couldn't stop the small smile that curled my lips.
Chapter 3. I twisted the dial on my watch. 20 minutes late. She was sexy, and that one little soft spot that remained in my heart actually felt bad for how she'd been conned. But 20 minutes? I billed at $675 an hour. I'd just lost $225 standing in front of the damn police station. I took one last look up the block and was about to head back down to my office when a flash of color turned the corner. Green. I'd always been fond of green. What's not to like? Money, grass, those frogs with the bulging eyes that I loved to chase as a kid. But today, fond was promoted to favorite as I watched Emery's tits bounce up and down in her sweater. For a little thing, she had some rack. Went nicely with that curvy ass. I'm so sorry I'm late. Her coat was open and her pale cheeks pink as she panted from her sprint up the block. She looked different than she had the other night. Her long, wavy hair was down, and sunlight picked up little flecks of gold in its copper color. She attempted to tame it as she spoke. I took the wrong train. I was just about to leave. I looked down at my watch and caught tiny droplets of sweat beating between her cleavage. Clearing my throat, I padded how long I'd been waiting. 35 minutes. That'll be $350. What? I shrugged and kept my face stoic. I bill at $675 an hour. You made me waste more than a half hour of my time. So that'll be $350. I can't afford to pay you. I'm broke, remember? She held up her hands in exasperation. Swindled into renting your fancy office? I shouldn't have to pay you that kind of money just because I overslept. Relax, I'm screwing with you. I paused. Wait, I thought you took the wrong train. She bit her lip, looking guilty, and pointed to the door of the police station. We should go inside. I've kept you waiting long enough. I shook my head. You lied to me. Emery sighed. I'm sorry, I overslept. I couldn't fall asleep again last night. This all still feels like a bad dream to me. I nodded and uncharacteristically let her off the hook. Come on, let's see if there's a chance in hell they can catch this guy. Inside the police station, the desk sergeant was talking on the phone when we walked in. He smiled and held up two fingers. After he finished telling the caller that stolen supermarket circulars would be a matter for the U.S. Postal Inspector and not the NYPD, he extended his hand, leaning over the counter.
Drew Jagger, what brings you down to the dregs? Slumming today?
I smiled and clasped his hand.
Something like that. How's it going, Frank?
Never been happier. Go home at night, don't take my shoes off at the door, leave the seat up in the bathroom after I take a piss, and use paper plates so I don't have to wash jack shit. The single life is good, my friend.
I turned to Emery. This is Sergeant Frank Caruso. He keeps me in business the way he goes through wives.
Frank, this is Emery Rose. She needs to file a police report. Any chance Mahoney is on today? Maybe he can help her out.
He's out for a few weeks. Twisted his ankle chasing a perp on a B&E. But I'll take a look at who's in the bullpen and get someone good.
What's up? Domestic issue? Husband giving her a hard time?
Nothing like that. Emery's not a regular client. She leased space in my building a few weeks ago.
Frank whistled. Space on Park Avenue. Pretty and rich. You single, honey?
Don't you ever learn your lesson, old man?
What? I've only tried ugly and broke. Maybe that's my problem.
Pretty sure that ain't your problem.
Frank waved me off.
What seems to be the issue? Landlord giving her a hard time or something?
She leased my place for $2,500 a month, paid $10,000 up front. Problem is, she didn't lease it from the landlord. Got scammed by someone posing as a leasing agent while I was out of town and my office was getting renovated.
$2,500 a month? For your building?
She's from Oklahoma.
He looked to Emery.
No monopoly in Oklahoma? Couldn't figure out the Park Place was five times the price of Baltic?
I cut Sergeant Wise's ass off before he made Emery feel worse than she already did. After all, I'd ridiculed her judgment the other night when she'd surprised me with a welcome home I wasn't expecting. Enough was enough. Frank gave her some paperwork to start filling out and showed us to a private room to wait. On our way, I stopped to talk to an old friend, and Emery was nearly done with the forms when I joined her. I shut the door behind me, and she looked up and asked,
"Do you do criminal work?"
"No, just matrimonial."
"Every cop seems to know you."
"My buddy used to work in this precinct. Some of my first clients were cops. You're a friend of a brother in blue, and do a good job for one. You get the business of the entire precinct, and then some. They're a loyal bunch. At least, to each other. Highest occupational divorce rate in the city, though."
A minute later, a detective I'd never met came in and took Emery's statement, then mine. When he finished, he said he was done with me, if I wanted to go. I had no idea why I was still hanging around a half hour later as Emery flipped through her second thick book of mugshots. She turned the page and sighed.
"I can't believe how many criminals look like everyday people."
"Would make it more difficult for you to hand over $10,000 in cash if the guy looked like a criminal, wouldn't it?"
"I suppose."
I scratched my chin.
"What did you carry that kind of cash in, anyway? A brown paper bag filled with hundreds?"
"No."
Her tone was defensive, but she didn't offer anything more. So I stared at her, waiting. She rolled her eyes.
"Fine, but it wasn't a brown paper bag. It was white, and said Wendy's on it."
I raised my brow.
"Wendy's? The fast food place?
Really got a thing for burgers, huh?"
"I put the burger I just picked up for lunch in my purse and carried the cash in it because I didn't want to let it out of my hands on the subway. I figured it was more likely someone might try to steal my pocketbook than my lunch."
She had a point. "Good thinking for a girl from Oklahoma."
She squinted at me. "I'm from Oklahoma City, not farmland. You think I'm naive just because I'm not from New York, that I make bad decisions?"
I couldn't help myself.
"You did give a fake real estate agent $10,000 in a Wendy's bag."
It looked like smoke was about to blow from her ears. Luckily, a knock at the door prevented me from getting chewed out Oklahoma style again. Frank popped his head in.
"Got a second, counselor?"
"Sure thing."
Frank opened the door wide, waited for me to walk through, and shut it behind us before he spoke.
"We got a little problem, Drew."
He had his sergeant face on as he pointed to the closed door Emery sat behind.
"Standard operating procedure is to run the complainant."
"Yeah, so?"
Oklahoma there, she popped. Got an outstanding warrant.
You're shitting me.
Wish I was. New computer system makes us record the reason we run the name. Detective who took her statement had already entered in that she was here in the station house. Not like the old days. Everything is traceable now. She's gonna have to take care of the warrant. I'm off in an hour. I'll take the caller and drive her over to the courthouse to answer the charges so we don't have to put her in cuffs, if you want. It's an appearance ticket. I'm sure she can enter a plea and take care of it easy enough.
What's the charge?
Frank smirked. Indecent exposure.
So tell me the whole story, from the beginning.
We sat on a bench outside of the courtroom, waiting for the afternoon warrant session to begin. Emery hung her head.
Do I have to?
I lied. You're going to have to tell your story to the judge, so as your attorney I need to hear it first. She'd no doubt be pissed when she realized an appearance ticket didn't require recounting the events in question. We would walk in, plead guilty, pay a fine, and be out the door in an hour. But my entire day was wasted, so I deserved a little fun. Plus, I liked the fiery side of her personality. She was even sexier, pissed off.
Okay. Well, I was here in New York for the summer visiting my grandmother, and I met this guy. We went out a few times, we're getting close, and this one particular August night, it was really hot and muggy. I'd just graduated high school and never did anything even remotely wild back home. So when he suggested we go skinny dipping in the public pool, I thought, why not? No one will ever know.
Go on.
We went to the Y on 82nd Street that has an outdoor pool and hopped the fence. It was so dark when we got undressed, I didn't even think the guy would be able to see me.
So you undressed? What color were your bra and underwear?
Seriously? I was a sick fuck asking these types of questions. But in my twisted imagination, I saw her in a little white thong and matching lacy bra.
She looked momentarily panicked.
Do you really need to know all this? It was 10 years ago.
I should. The more details, the better. It'll show the judge you remember the night well, and he'll think you're remorseful.
Emery nibbled on her thumbnail in deep thought.
White. They were white.
Nice. G-string or briefs?
Her cheeks turned pink, and she covered her face with her hands.
G-string? God, this is so embarrassing.
It'll make things easier to flesh it out now.
Okay.
Did you undress yourself, or did this guy undress you?
I undressed myself.
Okay. What happened next? Tell me all the details. Don't leave anything out. You might not think it's relevant, but it could help your case.
She nodded.
After I got undressed, I left my clothes in a pile near the fence we'd climbed. Jared, that's the guy I was with, he took off his clothes, left them next to mine, went to the high dive board, and cannonballed in.
Then what?
Then the police came.
You weren't even in the water yet? No fooling around in the pool or anything?
Nope. I never even made it into the pool. Right after Jared came up for air, the sirens were flashing.
I felt like I got ripped off. All that build-up and that's it? Not even any groping?
Before I could ask her any more questions, a court officer rattled off a list of names. I heard him call Rose, so I guided Emery to where he was standing outside of the courtroom with a clipboard.
Room 132, down the hall to your right. The ADA will meet you there to discuss your case before you see the judge. Wait outside. She'll call your name when it's your turn.
Knowing where the room was, I walked Emery down the hall, and we took a seat on the bench outside. She was quiet for a minute before she spoke. Her voice had a little shake to it, like she was fighting back crying.
I'm so sorry about all of this, Drew. I probably owe you $5,000 for all of your time, and I can't even afford to pay you $500.
Don't worry about it.
She reached out and touched my arm. I'd had my hand on her back as we walked, and also helped her out of the back of the police car Sergeant Caruso drove us over in, but it was the first time she'd touched me.
I liked it.
Damn it. I didn't know her well, but I knew enough to know Oklahoma was not the type of woman you screwed and screwed over.
I needed to get this over with and get out of here.
I mean it. I'm really sorry, and I can't thank you enough for coming with me today. I'd be a wreck if I didn't have you here. I'll pay you back somehow.
I can think of a few ways. It's fine, really. Don't worry about it. This is all going to go smoothly, and we'll be out of here in 20 minutes. Just then, a voice called from behind the door.
Rose, docket number 1849304, counsel for Rose.
I assumed it was the ADA. I didn't do much criminal work, just the occasional traffic ticket or domestic violence charge for an existing high-net-worth divorce client. But the woman's voice was vaguely familiar, although I couldn't place it. Until I opened the door. Suddenly, it was eminently clear why the yell had sounded familiar. I'd heard it before. The last time, she'd been screaming my name as I plowed into her from behind in the office bathroom of a rival law firm. Of all the lawyers in New York County, Kira Albright had to be our ADA. Maybe smooth wasn't exactly the right word for how things were about to go.
Chapter 4. Fuck.
I don't understand. What's going on?
Emery's voice was full of panic, and I couldn't blame her. Everyone knows cobras, tigers, and sharks are dangerous. But the bottlenose dolphin? So sweet-looking and lovable, their whistle plays harmony when you pet them on the top of the head? But accidentally injure one, and they will attack. It's true. My hobby, other than fucking and working, is watching the National Geographic Channel. Kira Albright is a bottlenose dolphin. She'd just recommended 30 days in jail to the judge, rather than the fine she'd told us she would offer less than a half hour ago.
Give me a minute. Take a seat in the gallery, and I'll come get you in a few. I need to have a word with the ADA. Alone.
Emery nodded, even though she looked like she was on the verge of tears, and I took a moment to let her compose herself. Then I opened the gate that separates the spectators from the players in the courtroom and led her to an empty row in the back. As I started to walk away, I saw a tear roll down her face, and it stopped me in my tracks. Without thinking, I lifted her chin so our eyes met.
Trust me. You're going home tonight, okay? Just trust me.
My voice startled Kira in the ladies' room across from the courtroom.
What the hell was that all about?
I locked the door as she turned to face me.
You can't come in here.
If anyone asks, I'm identifying with my feminine side today.
You're an asshole.
I'm an asshole?
What the hell was with all that nice to see you, Drew, crap? I'll recommend a $50 fine and you'll be out of here in time to play golf.
She turned away from me and walked to the mirror. Slipping a lipstick from her suit jacket pocket, she leaned in and lined her lips in blood red, saying nothing until she was done. Then she gave me the widest, brightest smile I'd ever seen.
Figured your new plaything needed to get used to being told one thing and then having another happen when she least expects it.
She's not my plaything. She's a friend I'm helping out.
I saw the way you looked at her, the way you had your hand on her back. If you aren't screwing her already, you will be soon. Maybe she needs a night in county lockup because you can't handle yourself in the courtroom. Might sour her to your charm. Come to think of it, I'm doing the woman a service. She should thank me.
You're out of your mind if you think I'm going to let you get away with this. Emery has nothing to do with what went down between the two of us. I'll ask Judge Hawkins to recuse himself if I have to.
Recuse himself? On what grounds?
On the grounds that your father plays golf with him every Friday, and you yourself have told me he gives you whatever you want? Did you forget how much you like to talk shop after I fucked you?
You wouldn't dare.
I had been standing at a distance, 10 feet away in front of the locked door, but I walked slowly to where she was standing, getting nice and close.
Try me.
She held my stare for a long moment.
Fine. But let's do this the way adversaries are supposed to. Not threatening below the belt. We'll make a deal.
I shook my head.
What do you want, Kiera?
You want your client home tonight. I want something in return.
Fine. What do you want?
Her tongue glossed over her top lip like she was starving and looking at a juicy steak.
You? And not in a bathroom or the back seat of an Uber. I want you. A proper date where you take me out and wine me and dine me before you 69 me. Oh my God, I can't thank you enough.
Let's just pay the fine and get out of here. As I sped her out of the courtroom, Emery seemed to interpret my rush to be about her taking up too much of my day. But it wasn't that at all. I'd almost made it out when Kiera called after us.
Drew, do you have a moment?
Not now, I need to be somewhere. Anywhere but here. I kept my hand on Emery's back and continued moving, but my client had other ideas. She stopped walking. We need to go, I said.
Let me at least thank the ADA.
That's not necessary. The city of New York thanks her every other Friday when they hand her a paycheck. Emery's eyes scolded me.
I'm not being rude just because you are.
With that, she turned and waited for Kiera to catch up. She extended her hand.
Thank you so much for everything. I was a wreck this morning when I thought I might be taken into custody.
Kiera looked at Emery's hand and snubbed her. She turned her body my direction and spoke to me while responding.
Don't thank me. Thank your attorney. Yes, I'll do that. But don't thank him too much. I don't want him worn out.
Kiera turned on her heel and waved goodbye over her shoulder.
I'll call you for our appointment, Drew.
Emery looked at me.
That was odd.
She must be off her meds. Come on, let's get you out of here. By the time we paid the fine and picked up copies of Emery's warrant clearance, it was nearly 4 o'clock. Out on the court steps, she turned to me.
I hope you're not anti-public displays of affection, because I need to give you a hug.
I actually wasn't much of a public affection person at all, but hey, I wasn't getting paid for this wasted day, so I might as well get something out of this. Those tits pushed up against me were definitely better than nothing. Might even be better than a full day at $6.75 an hour. If you insist. The smile she shot me was pretty damn close to as perfect as I'd ever seen. Then came the hug. It was a long one. Those tits and that tiny, lithe body enveloped me into more than a courtesy hug. She even smelled good. When she pulled back, she kept her hands on my arms.
I'm going to pay you back for today, even if it takes me years.
Don't worry about it.
No, I mean it.
We spent a few minutes more talking, exchanged numbers in case any deliveries showed up for her, and said goodbye. She was heading uptown and I was heading down, so we parted in opposite directions. After I took a few steps, I looked back over my shoulder and watched the sway of her ass. She looked just as good going as she did coming. That made me think. I bet she looked even more incredible when she was coming. Just as I was about to turn back around, Emery turned in my direction, and she caught me watching her walk away. She smiled big and gave a last wave before turning the corner and disappearing out of sight. I wanted her to pay me back for today, all right. And I could think of several ways I'd like to collect.
Chapter 5. I lifted my buzzing cell to my ear, catching the time as I did. Almost 11 p.m. Late for anyone to call. Hello? Emery. That voice. I didn't have to ask who it was. In person, his voice was deep and raspy, but it was downright gravelly on the phone. Drew? Is everything okay? Yeah. Why? Because it's sort of late. I heard the phone move around and then... Shit. Sorry. I had no idea. I just looked at the time. I thought it was maybe 9. Time flies when you spend most of the day in court with criminals, doesn't it? Guess so. I went back home, started to catch up on some work, then stopped in my office. I must have lost track of time. I came back home, had a few glasses of wine, and felt sorry for myself some more. Your evening sounds way more productive. Are you still in the office? Yeah, that's what made me call you. I'm sitting here thinking that when you find a new office, it's going to look very nice. What an odd thing to say. Thank you, but what makes you say that?
Glass and dark wood. I like it. I would have taken you for something more girly, though.
What are you... Oh, no. They delivered my office furniture today?
They did.
How? How did they even get in when you were with me all day?
My contractor was here finishing up, and I hadn't had a chance to tell him what went down yet. He thought he was doing you a favor by letting them in.
I banged my head against the kitchen counter, then kept my forehead pressed to it to stop from bludgeoning myself. I couldn't catch the groan that came from my mouth, though. I'm sorry. I'll deal with it right away, first thing in the morning.
Take your time. My stuff is still in storage. I can keep it here for a while.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. I'll get on the phone first thing in the morning and make them come back and get it. Then I'll come wait at your office so you don't have to deal with it, if that's okay.
Of course.
I'm sorry.
Stop saying you're sorry, Emery. Ex-cons are hardened. They don't apologize. I'll see you in the morning.
I laughed, because it kept me from crying. Hello? I knocked on the half-open door and listened to my voice echo back to me. The door pushed open, and I was surprised to find the lobby area still empty. I thought my furniture would have been dropped here. In the distance, I heard a voice, but couldn't make it out. I stepped inside and yelled a little louder. Hello? Drew? Rapid footsteps clanked against the new marble flooring, each step growing louder, until Drew appeared from the hallway. He had his cell phone up to his ear and held up a finger as he continued with his call.
We don't want the house in Breckenridge. My client hates the cold. She can keep it, but it will be the only property she's leaving this marriage with.
A pause. Then,
no, I'm not nuts. After I hang up, I'm going to send you some photos of the Breckenridge property. I think they'll convince you that Mrs. Hollister really enjoys that house.
Just then, a FedEx delivery man appeared with a hand truck full of boxes. Drew moved the phone from his ear to speak to him.
Give me 1 minute.
Deciding the least I could do was help him out, I signed for the delivery and asked the nice delivery man to stack the boxes on top of the plastic-covered reception counter. Drew mouthed, "Thank you," and continued his call. While he was semi-yelling at whoever was on the other end of the conversation, I took a minute to check him out. He wore what I assumed by the fit was a very expensive suit. The sleeve on the arm holding the cell was pushed back, revealing a big, expensive-looking watch. His shoes were shiny, and his shirt crisply pressed. His hair was dark and too long for a man who shined his shoes, and his skin was tanned from his recent vacation, which made his very light green eyes stand out even brighter. But it was his lips that were impossible not to stare at, so full and perfectly shaped. He really is beautiful. I wasn't sure I'd ever thought of a man as beautiful before. Handsome, yes, hot even, but beautiful fit the bill to describe Drew Jagger. No other word did him justice. He finished up his call.
Seriously, Max, how many cases have you been on the other side of the table staring at my pretty face? You don't know when I'm not bluffing by now? Look at the photos, then let me know your answer on the offer. I think you'll find it more than fair after things are put in perspective for you. Her 20-year-old ski instructor was teaching her a new kind of snowplow. Offers on the table for 48 hours. Then I have to make another phone call to you, which means my client gets another bill, and your offer goes down by a fuck of a lot.
Drew pushed a button on his phone and looked up at me, about to speak, when it started to buzz in his hand.
Shit.
He sighed, eyes flicking to his phone again and back to me.
Sorry. I need to take this, too.
A Poland Spring delivery guy wheeling big jugs of water knocked at the front door. I looked at Drew. I got it. Go take your call. Over the next 15 minutes that Drew was on the phone, I turned away a solicitor, answered the ringing office phone buried under a tarp, twice, and signed for some legal documents served to law offices of Drew M. Jagger. I was bluffing my way through a prospective client call when Drew reappeared. We'll have to thank Mr. Aiken for recommending you. I listened for a moment and then added, Our rate is... I caught Drew's eye. $700 an hour. The corner of his mouth twitched. Sure. Why don't I make you an appointment for an initial consultation? Let me put you on hold for just a minute so I can look up Mr. Jagger's calendar. I pressed the button and held out my hand, palm up. Is your calendar synced on your phone? Drew pulled his phone from his pocket and handed it to me. It is. Opening his mobile Outlook calendar, I scanned for the next opening. There was nothing for a solid month. Can you move your dinner with someone named Monica from 6 to 8, and I'll book Mr. Patterson for 4:30 next Wednesday? He said it's urgent. He may need a restraining order to protect his assets like you did for Mr. Aiken. Done. I reconnected the call. How about 4:30 next Wednesday, the 8th? That's perfect. Great. And our standard retainer is... I looked to Drew, and he held up 10 fingers. $12,000. Okay, thank you. We look forward to seeing you then. Goodbye. Drew looked amused as I hung up. Did I raise my hourly rates from $675 to $700? No, that extra $25 is mine. For every hour you bill him, you can take it off of what I owe you. I figured out that my bill for 8 hours yesterday is $5,400. I pay the standard rate, of course, not Mr. Patterson's inflated rate. So if you could bill Mr. Patterson for a few hundred hours, that would be great. Drew chuckled. There's the spitfire who attacked me with her mad Krav Maga skills a few nights ago. Your lack of tenacity had me concerned yesterday. I was arrested and almost thrown in jail. I'm heartbroken. You had such little faith that I would get you off. That woman was out for my blood at first yesterday. What did you say to her to get her to change her tune anyway? We made a deal. I squinted. What did you have to give her in return for lightening up on me? Drew looked me in the eyes. Nothing important. The office phone began to ring again behind me. Do you want me to... He waved me off. The answering service will pick it up. Come on, I'll show you your furniture. I thought it would be in the lobby. Tom thought he was helping, so he had them set it up in my office. I followed Drew down the hall, and he opened the door to the large office next to the file room I'd been working in. The other day when I was here, it hadn't been done. Moldings and trim still needed to be hung, and everything was covered by tarps. The contractor must have worked all day yesterday to get it finished. Wow, it looks beautiful in here, except... I thought better of sharing my thought and shook my head. Nothing. It looks beautiful. Except what? What were you going to say? The office is beautiful. It really is. Tall ceilings, wide crown moldings, except... Everything is white. Why didn't you paint any color? It's kind of boring, all white. He shrugged. I like things simple, black and white. I snorted. Good thing you came back when you did, then. I'd already picked out a bright yellow for your office. Copy room was going to be red. My beautiful desk actually did look amazing in his giant office, even with the boring white paint. The top was a thick, tempered glass, and the bottom had dark mahogany legs shaped like a workhorse. I wasn't generally a modern furniture person, but the desk was so beautiful and serene-looking that I had to have it. The furniture company wouldn't give me a time, but they're supposed to come today to pick it back up. They wanted to charge me a 40% restocking and pickup fee. Took me an hour on the phone with a manager to explain they'd violated their own delivery contract by letting an unauthorized person take delivery. You're good on the phone. I worked as a customer service rep for a printer company through college. I remember what made me really listen and bend the rules for a customer after a long day of complaint calls. Drew's cell phone began to ring again. He looked down at it, then decided not to answer. Take it. I'll get out of your way. God knows I've taken up enough of your time. And you seem really busy. It's okay. I don't need to answer it. Is it just you in this big space all alone? I normally have a paralegal and a secretary, but my secretary went out on a few months of medical leave 2 weeks ago, and my paralegal decided to go to law school out of state. Sounds like you're going to be pretty busy. His cell phone rang again, and this time he said he needed to take the call. He told me to make myself at home, but there wasn't really anything to do. Drew went into the file room and sat down at the table I'd been using as my desk, and I went back to the lobby. After removing the rest of the plastic from the reception desk, I found some cleaning supplies in the bathroom and wiped it down before setting up my laptop. In between catching up on emails, I answered the office phone and took messages. When Drew came back out an hour later, he looked annoyed. "My cell phone died. Could I borrow yours for a few minutes? My cordless is in storage with the rest of my crap, and I was almost done hammering out a settlement. I don't want to give the attorney time to reconsider all the stupid things he just agreed to." I lifted my phone. "By all means." Drew took a few steps away and stopped. "What's the password?" Fuck. "You don't want me to know your password?" "No, my password is fuck." Drew chuckled. "Girl after my own heart." Then he typed it in and was gone again. By the time noon rolled around, my stomach was growling since I woke up late and hadn't eaten any breakfast. But I couldn't leave the office and chance missing the furniture delivery company again. When I heard Drew take a break from talking on the phone, I ventured to the file room. "Do you usually order lunch? I'm afraid to go out and miss the delivery."
"Sometimes. What are you in the mood for?"
I shrugged. "I don't care. I'm not picky."
"How about Indian food? Curry House is a few blocks away and delivers quick."
I scrunched up my nose.
"You don't like Indian food?"
"Not really."
"Okay, how about Chinese?"
"Too much MSG.
"Sushi?"
"I'm allergic to fish."
"Mexican?"
"Too heavy for lunch."
"You do understand what the phrase 'I'm not picky' means, right?"
I narrowed my eyes at him.
"Of course. You're just picking weird stuff." "What would you like to eat, Emery?"
"Pizza?" He nodded.
"Pizza it is. See? I'm not picky."
After we finished lunch, Drew took his phone from the charger. Then he reached for mine.
"Can I look at your pictures?"
"My phone pictures? Why?"
"Best way to get to know someone is to look at their cell phone pictures when they least expect it."
"I'm not even sure what I have on there."
"That's the point. If you have a chance to clean up your pictures, I won't be seeing the real you. I'll be seeing what you want me to see."
I tried to remember if there was anything embarrassing or incriminating on the phone, as Drew slid it from my side of the table to his with a smirk on his face. At the last second, I covered his hand with mine, stopping him.
"Wait. I want to look at yours if you're going to look at mine. And you better have some embarrassing things on there, because I'm pretty sure I do." "By all means. I don't embarrass easily."
Drew slid his phone across the folding table. I watched as he keyed in the password and began to swipe through my photos. After a moment, he paused, and his eyebrows rose.
"This one tells me a lot about you."
I reached for the phone, but he pulled it back too fast.
"What? What photo is it?"
Drew turned the phone so the screen faced me. Oh, God. How embarrassing. It was a close-up of me last week while I was working. I'd had a full day of telephone therapy sessions, and my speakerphone had decided to stop working bright and early on that Monday morning. I didn't have time to run out and get a new office phone, and by early afternoon I was frustrated with not being able to multitask because one hand had to hold the phone to my ear. So I'd gotten creative. I'd taken two large orange rubber bands and put them around the phone and my head, effectively banding the phone in place so I didn't have to hold it anymore. One of the rubber bands ran across my forehead, slightly above my eyebrows, and pushed my brow down, giving me an odd, scrunched face. The other rubber band wrapped around my chin, causing the skin to pucker into a very crooked chin dimple that I didn't normally have. My speakerphone died, and I had a lot of telephone calls that day. I needed to be able to use my hands. He chuckled.
"Inventive. There hasn't been a good iPhone update since Steve Jobs died. You might want to look into selling them your new technology."
I crumpled up my napkin and threw it at his face. "Shut up." He swiped a few more times, and then stopped.
This time, I couldn't make out what he was thinking. What? What did you stall on?